Hello, you're listening to the Witness History Podcast from the BBC World Service with me, Jill Kersley. It's 1994 and the BBC were asking this.
Imagine what it would be like to be able to talk to any computer in the world, including the one in the White House.
It seems unbelievable now, but this was a time when many people hadn't even heard of the internet or email, let alone used it. And it was a time when computers, cakes and Kylie came together to play their part in the success of what's said to be the first internet cafe.
It was great to be part of, you know, connecting the world and also letting people connect with similar-minded people.
Meet Ava Pascoe, one of the founders of Siberia Cafe. Ava's interest in computers started in her home country of Poland. When she grew up there, the country was still behind the Iron Curtain.
We were all gamers and we all wanted to game on the top latest computers. And it was impossible because there was a limitation called COCOM, which only allowed sales of computers to Eastern Europe, which were 5 years old. So what happened? Everybody started building computers because it's actually not that hard to glue together something that may not look very pretty, but does the job. Every Sunday, everybody would trot up to this little hardware market, rummage in the boxes and pick up your graphic cards and just put it all together. So that was quite fun.
Ava did a degree in linguistics and still had an interest in computers. In 1986, a disaster caused international concern, as reported by the BBC.
Good evening. The Soviet Union said today that an accident has damaged an atomic reactor at a power plant near Kiev. It could be one of the world's worst nuclear accidents.
I was in Warsaw at university and the radioactive cloud went over our heads. So I got so extremely upset about it. You know, we had to hide in basements for a few days because nobody really understood. It was really a human error combined by very poor dashboard design, very poor interface design that the engineers working on Chernobyl repairs were not able to read. So I got obsessed with this mission of how to make computers safer and how to make interfaces better for humans.
Ava moved to London to study, but towards the end of her degree, she realised that there wasn't going to be much work in nuclear power stations. She was more than 1,500 kilometres from home and needed to look for a different job.
I was a little bit lonely, a little bit kind of abandoned in the whole thing. So I used an enormous amount of email. And then I realised that's the cheapest way to communicate with my family. So I realised if I use email in that way, if I love email IRC to communicate with my folk back home, there must be millions of people who would like to do the same. And that kind of sparked my interest in creating a public access to email.
Ava and three others got together to think about starting a business. They looked for premises and found a corner shop next door to the home of Malcolm McLaren, the manager of punk band The Sex Pistols.
And I thought that must be a sign. So we jumped on it and it had a beautiful corner space with huge windows. And we always had in mind this concept of a cafe where people could learn computers from each other. But, you know, that was the time where people thought that computer people were geeks and not to be allowed out of the university basements. So we wanted to break it somehow. So one of my squad was Jeanette Thier, who was a very beautiful South African. And she said, why don't we do a cafe? Why don't we do something which allows people to understand that this is now not just geeks. So the two of us looked fairly ungeeky. And we had a couple of partners who were geeks, but we were hiding them. So, plus, I was European, so for me, the concept of coffee shops was part of my DNA.
The world's first permanent internet cafe opened on the 1st of September, 1994.
The day of opening was super exciting. We didn't really tell that many people, just our friends, musicians, DJs. And we were still working till about 2 a.m, painting, finishing the interiors. I was still running around trying to get supplies of cakes. And I had to go at 4 a.m. to collect them from the bakery. So we were all absolutely exhausted. And when we opened the door, we kind of thought, okay, well, a few people will come. We have a glass of champagne and that will be it. You know, virtually the whole world came.
The cafe was causing fascination and confusion, as many people didn't really understand the internet then. Even these BBC daytime TV presenters didn't know what was going on.
If you come into this cafe, very high-tech, very gorgeous, you do, you get cakes, you get custard and you get a drink. But then you get this, where you get all these screens. Now, you have to put your techno fear behind you. When you've done that, you can lurk, you can cruise, you can romance the screen. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Romance the screen?
Romance the screen. And then you can send emails to he-mails.
What?
Yes, I don't know what I'm saying. These people.
The cafe was called Siberia. Spelt with a C-Y, not an S-I.
Siberia was always talked about in the cyberpunk community as this futuristic place where, you know, things will be different, things will be run by tech, things will be surprising, exciting and futuristic. So I think, you know, the name was floating around.
Siberia Cafe was located near a recording studio.
Pretty much early on, we got interest from Mick Jagger, who ended up our investor. And then people from the studio, recording studio, started coming for their lunch. So one day, Kylie Minogue trotted up. She was recording there. She said, oh, you know, what's this internet about? Teach me how to do email.
Did you teach her then?
Yes. She came quite a few times because virtually the studio was next door. So they were all coming for coffee for us. And then she was very kind and gave us a big interview, which was titled How to Be a Nerd. And she was really helping us to get through that whole concept that, you know, computers are really quite fun. I mean, she was lovely, absolutely lovely.
Ava remembers that other musicians who used the cafe included David Bowie and Take That's Gary Barlow. It all sounds really glamorous, but there were some problems.
Internet cafes at the beginning, they were not particularly profitable. Because when people served the internet and we were allowing them to do it for about half an hour, drinking coffee and eating. So what I didn't think through originally is that that would damage the keyboards. Out of our, I think, 7 computers initially, 3 were down because people were spilling stuff on the keyboards. So I thought, okay, that's not going to work. That's all our profit gone for the week. And we had to regroup ourselves.
People had come to rely on the internet cafe. And here's another question put to the cafe from that BBC daytime TV show that seems laughable now.
Is there going to be a day when everyone sort of has these, like they have a telephone now or something?
So they say. Let's quickly nip back here, because you believe that there will come a moment when everybody in the world is going to have one of these.
I think so. Our motto is Siberia on every high street, people communicating via the internet, because it's easy.
The development of Siberia Cafe was rapid, with a branch in Paris opening, then Tokyo, then they spread throughout the world.
It was an amazing adventure and I was extremely lucky.
So when people ask you about your claim to fame, you say it's I opened the first internet cafe, or is it I taught Kylie Minogue how to use the internet?
Yeah, probably. Well, to be honest, Kylie was wonderful and that will always be one of my wonderful experiences. But I think the cafe definitely comes first because, you know, I have taught thousands of people how to send emails, how to do FTP. So, you know, single-handedly, we ushered in the internet era and made it fun and made it open.
Since selling the Siberia Internet Cafes, Ava Pascoe has been involved in many startup companies and is now an e-commerce director helping to improve online shopping. She was speaking to me, Jill Kersley, the Witness History podcast from the BBC World Service. If you've enjoyed listening, please leave us a review and share it with anyone who you think would like to hear it. It's great to hear your stories and it really helps in letting people know about the great stories people like Ava tell us on Witness History. Goodbye.
From the brilliant and bizarre.
It was really surreal. It was a surreal kind of atmosphere there. You couldn't really see anybody.
To the shocking and unexpected.
I'm just wondering, what are we going to do now? This was really my worst fear. He found 100% horse meat that was labelled as beef.
Witness the stories that have shaped our world, told by the people who were there.
When he went to the factory, the poodle went in front of him, so the workers only knew, oh, the boss is here.
Many people had many things to lose by our victory. The future was not so bright.
Witness History.
We had a designer. He brought in a fully storyboarded idea about how the Queen would arrive by jumping out of a helicopter. And we all said, That's brilliant, but it's never going to happen.
Witness history at bbcworldservice.com/witnesshistory or wherever you get your podcasts.